1 John 3 in our Bibles this evening. What a blessing 1 John has been already, chapter 1. Just a reminder that we are walking in the light with Jesus Christ, how important it is that we confess our sins. And then chapter 2, that great teaching on Jesus Christ being our propitiation, great teaching on the world and all the sins of the world in those three categories, and then finishing there with the reminder of how important it is that we abide in Jesus Christ and that His Word abide in us. And so here in chapter 3, he introduces again this great doctrine of adoption, that we become God's children. Beginning in verse 1, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." So tonight we discuss the sons of God. Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord. Use Your Word in our lives. Meet with us now. We're so blessed and privileged to have Your Word, to be able to open it together. And we pray now that You would work miracles in our hearts through it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says that it was the love of God, as we see there in verse 1, that motivated Him to adopt us into His family. 1 John talks a lot about the love of God, as we'll see when we get to chapter 4. If you look in chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." The love of God was manifested, of course, at Calvary, like we talked about Sunday night in Isaiah 53. One of the manifestations of that love is that we are adopted into God's family when we get saved. We become His children. We become the sons of God. That's an amazing truth. And God does that simply because God is love. And God loves us. And He's willing to give us this amazing gift, as it says there in verse 1 of our passage, that we should be called the sons of God. And we're told in John chapter 1, verse 11, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." Or sorry, John 1, 12. So when we receive Jesus Christ, we become the sons of God. Now, if you would go back to Romans 8, please. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Where the Bible says that we become, as sons of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Which is amazing when you think about it. Notice Romans 8, 16. The Bible says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." So notice the Spirit itself, the Holy Ghost who indwells us at salvation, the Bible says He witnesses to us that we are the children of God. And the Bible says if we're children of God, we are joint heirs with Christ, which is, when you think about it, that's an amazing truth. So the things that Christ inherits, we inherit. That's what it means. Joint heirs. Equal heirs with Jesus. How is that even possible? Well, it's possible because God made it so. And our God is a loving God and was willing to make us His children at salvation. The Bible says in Galatians 3:26, "You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." When we trust Jesus Christ, when we place our faith in Him, we become children of God, the sons of God. So there's some great truths about this adoption back in our passage. So the Bible says in verse 1 that it was the love of God, 1 John 3:1, that resulted in this adoption into God's family. But the Bible tells us that because we're children of God now, notice in verse 1, the world no longer knows us. Isn't that interesting? We're members of a new family. Jesus told the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father the devil," in John 8:44. These were the Jewish leaders of the day. He said, the devil's your father. And that's true of all unsaved people. But the day that we're born again, God becomes our father. And we become his children. And the Bible says the result of that, one of the results of that, is the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Jesus says in verse 13, look down there, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. The world hates Christians. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. It's becoming more and more so as time goes on. But the world doesn't know us. Go to John chapter 15, if you would, where Jesus was encouraging his disciples there in that upper room. John chapter 15. And one of the things he was warning them of was when they became God's children, the world would no longer love them, but actually would hate them. Notice John 15:18. It says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So we're children of God because of God's love. But one thing that happens is the world no longer knows us, because we're not of the world anymore. We're now of God. But if you go back to our passage, 1 John 3, another thing that we do know because we're children of God is that because of God's love, he not only made us children, but he's coming back. Look what it says in verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. He says we know some things. Now that we're children of God, we know, firstly, that he is going to return for us, his children. And again, at the upper room, John chapter 14, what did Jesus say? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There in John 14:3. In Colossians 3:4, the Bible says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So the world doesn't know us, but we now know some things as children of God. And one of the things we know is that Jesus is coming back. Not only that, but look in verse 2 again. It says, and when he returns, we're going to be like him. So one of the blessings of being the children of God is now we know Jesus is coming back for us. And we know that when he does, as it says, we shall be like him. Isn't that amazing? Go to Philippians 3, where it expounds upon this a bit. This truth that when Jesus comes back to get us as children of God, we get a new body. We are made like Christ's body. Notice Philippians 3, verse 21. The Bible says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So as children of God, we know the world no longer knows us, but we do know Jesus is coming back, and we know that when he does, we're going to be like him. What a great truth. Did you know that the Bible also teaches that we're also going to have perfect knowledge? So we're not only going to get a perfect body as children of God, but also receive perfect knowledge. And that's explained in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's turn over there. Right now, we have very imperfect knowledge. There's a lot of things we don't know and never will. But there's going to come a day when God's going to impart to us not only a new body, but perfect knowledge. Notice 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. I will know as I'm known. Well, how am I known? I'm known perfectly by God. God says, I'm going to know perfectly. I'm going to know as I'm known when I see Jesus. So as sons of God, we have these great promises that we're going to be like Jesus. And He's coming back for us. And when He comes back for us, not only are we going to be like Him in body, but we're going to be like Him in knowledge. And God says, if you look at verse 3, our final verse this evening, 1 John 3:3, that because we have this great hope, this hope of the return of Jesus, this hope of our adoption, and our joint heirship with Jesus, this hope of our new body and our new knowledge, God says this hope should have an impact in our lives. Look at verse 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What's this hope that he's talking about? It's what we just read about in verses 1 and 2. That now we're children of God, and that because we're children of God, Jesus is coming back for us, and when he does, he's going to give us a new body and perfect knowledge. And he says, if you have this hope, it should have an impact in your life. And what's that impact? Purification. Why? Well, because if we truly believe Jesus is coming back, then we truly believe that we should do our best to be ready and prepared and not ashamed when he returns. Which he says is a possibility. We saw that in verse 28 of chapter 2, remember? Last week, 1 John 2:28, look over there, where he says that there will be some who will be ashamed. Where am I here? 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Some Christians will be ashamed because they didn't purify themselves in preparation for his return. This is what God wants. The day he saved us, he made us doctrinally perfect in Christ. But now he wants our lives, our walk, our behavior, our conversation to little by little become more like Christ. So that when he returns, we're ready, we're expecting him, we're serving him, we're faithfully looking for him. You know, the Bible says, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. Look at Philippians 3 again, if you would. The verse before the one we looked at before talks about this expectation of waiting, looking for Jesus. Notice Philippians 3:20, our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation means everything about us, our behavior. It says we're supposed to be living there. And then it goes on to say, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're truly looking and expecting, it will have a purifying effect in our lives. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So God wants us to be looking, expecting, and purifying ourselves, getting ready for the return of Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, if you would, please. Verse 28. He talks about those that are looking. Hebrews 9:28. His Bible says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Sons of God should be looking for the return of their Savior. And while they're looking, they should be serving and purifying themselves and getting ready for his return. Because Jesus said, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Right? We don't know. It could be tonight. So we should be ready. So what a great truth that God adopted us into his family the day we got saved. We were made children of God. Now there's a teaching out there among the world that basically everybody's a child of God by virtue of creation. That is not true. Everybody is God's creation, but not everybody is God's child. You're not God's child until you're adopted into God's family, and you're not adopted into God's family until you're born again. That's why it's called being born again, because you're born into a new family from an old family, which is the one that started with Adam. Look at John 1 again, if you would, and I'll show you this, but we have the great privilege of being born into a new family at salvation, and that's God's family. He becomes our Father. We become His child. And with that great doctrine, that adoption, comes this knowledge. Jesus is coming back for me. And when he does, he's going to make me like him. Look at John 1, verse 12. So many as received him, then gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Look at verse 13. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. That's why it's called being born again. We're born into a new family. It takes birth to be put into a new family. And that's exactly what God does when we get saved. We're birthed into God's family, out of Satan's family, and become the sons of God. And all the privileges that go with it. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Imagine. That's why it talks in 1 Peter 1 about this inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We can't even imagine. The Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It's better than we can imagine. And all that was given to us because of the love of God. Aren't we blessed to be the children of God? So we praise God for it.